may have noticed that we had an exciting cosmic event happening in the heavens above South Texas this last week. Much of the Hill Country, Austin, and San Antonio, along with places from Mexico all the way to Vermont, experienced a total solar eclipse. But here in South Texas, where NASA was stationed to watch it, it was cloudy all day long. How many of you sat outside and stared up at the clouds? Yes, the eclipse glasses were useless because it was so dark already. We couldn't see a thing through them. And as the wind carried the clouds, we could see glimpses, right? Every once in a while, if you were patient, you could see maybe a glimpse or two as it waxed and waned, and it certainly got dark for that minute or so of totality. But for the most part, it was underwhelming. I feel terrible for the folk who paid money on a vacation to South Texas to enjoy this event. Here, where most days it's sunny, here where April is beautiful and everywhere you step, butterflies come up and birds sing. It's just magical here usually in April, but Texas has to be dramatic and unpredictable. Otherwise, it's not Texas, weather included. It kept striking me, though, as I was hearing the words last week, path of totality. Then there was maps of this, right? You could see where the path of totality was. Here at the church, actually, wasn't in the path of totality, but 8.5 miles north where I live, we were. And there's no question to me that disciples were in the path of totality of the resurrection. They, like us, knew this was going to happen. They had been told. They didn't know what to expect, and they had all gathered together, as many of us did, watching and waiting. They might not have had silly glasses on, but they were ready. They'd heard the rumors. They had heard the prophecies, and they were starting to see glimpses of the miracle through the clouds of their grief. The gospel we read this morning is the second half of a story that we began this year, but this time last year, the walk to Emmaus. Remember, the walk to Emmaus is when the two disciples of Jesus were walking to Emmaus to their home, and they were sad, and they were despondent, and they were grief-stricken, and suddenly someone appeared beside them, and it was Jesus, and they didn't recognize him at first. And as they were lamenting, he spoke to them, and he encouraged them, and he reminded them of God's promises, and he spoke truth to them. And as they walked, their hearts became lighter and lighter and lighter, to when they arrived at their destination, to their home, they invited Jesus in to eat with them. And at that moment, as they invited him in to eat, they recognized him for who he was, and he disappeared. A glimpse through the clouds. So at that point, they ran the 7.5 miles or so back to Jerusalem. So Emmaus and Jerusalem are closer than my house and the church. But I'm not going to walk here. This morning's passage picks up with these two telling the others what had happened. They had run back. They were excited. They were jazzed. We saw it. We saw him. We talked to him. It was amazing. He told us all, unpacked all the mysteries. He told us everything that we needed to know. Our hearts knew it was him. They recognized it before our heads did. And then the path of totality hit again. And Jesus appeared among them. I am a terrible one for jump scares. You don't even need to try to jump scare me. Just be in the room with me, and half the time I'll scream. Because I'm just a jumpy person. Poor Joey has learned to knock ever so softly on my door so that I won't freak out, because there have been time and time again where he's like, "Pastor," and I'm like, "Ah!" I can't imagine, though, how bad that jump scare was for all of the disciples, because they had been talking about Jesus. They had been talking about this exact eventuality, and then suddenly, boom, there he was among them. Surprising, sort of terrifying, but saying, "Peace be with you." Showing his scars, eating a meal with them so that they could feel comforted, knowing, "I am not a ghost. I am really here. I'm going to jump through these hoops that you need with your tiny little human brains to understand and embrace that. What you see is real and true. I am here with you. As I studied the scripture this week, I found something really wonderful about the word that is translated peace when he says, peace be with you. The root word means join, tie together, or make whole. So as Jesus entered that room, he spoke to them not just for peace in that moment when they had that jump scare. He spoke unity, wholeness, and completion to them. He spoke hope to the ages. And we know not everything that Jesus did is in the scriptures, right? They're far too short for that. Even the most exhaustive biographies at 1,000 pages cannot hold the entirety of a life. So what we see in scriptures, we have to remember, holds significance in a different way. These are the things that were chosen to include, to tell generations to come about who the Messiah was and is. And this seems especially poignant around what Jesus says regarding his death and resurrection. So Jesus entering that closed door and materializing in the midst of his excited, scared, grieving, and hopeful followers and telling them wholeness, unity, peace to you. Because pay attention to what Jesus did not say. He did not say, nothing bad's ever going to happen again. He did not say, everything is going to be fine. He did not say, it's party time forever. No. Jesus said, wholeness, unity, peace, regardless of circumstances, wholeness, unity, peace. As a pastor, I often have the honor of holding space with the hardest things that people have to go through in their life. And I think that people will tell you, or if you've already experienced this, you know, having something happen to your child is probably the most difficult thing that you can go through in your life. Something bad happening to your child or the death of a child. Parenting is amazing and it's excruciating. Our hearts are outside of our bodies, and getting teased at school and falling on their faces and getting their hearts broken and doing stupid things, it's very fraught to be a parent. This week I held space with a parent whose child has been diagnosed with significant mental illness that, coupled with trauma from the past before they were adopted, makes their future look pretty bleak. We talked about how just keeping this human alive has been and will continue to be a feat. We talked about how most of the time as parents, we like to get to a place of fixing things, right? We like to make it right. We like to think, okay, you're in a good place, child. Everything's gonna be okay. But it's impossible to get to a place where things are all together all the time for everyone. I looked at this parent, tears streaming down their face, and told them what incredible work they have done. Because their loved one has not had to experience any more abuse in this decade since they were adopted. Their loved one has not had to see the kinds of things that they were experiencing. They have been held in love and care. They have never gone hungry again. They have not been abused anymore. And the ease of their suffering has been incredible. Fixing can't be the goal. We can't fix our own problems or anyone else's. And our children, as much as we would like to protect them and fix them and put them all back together, we can't always do it. We can be a part of lessening pain, of easing stress and angst. Jesus did not think fixing things was the goal either, but he brought us something more true and more powerful than that. He brought us wholeness. meaning, insight, even when we are experiencing the dark night of the soul, or even worse, when someone we love is. Freedom for our hearts when things aren't fixed and they never can be totally fixed. When they're not perfect and they're never totally perfect. When they're not resolved and they're never totally resolved. This is the reason we have the wounded healer. This is the reason why Jesus didn't show up looking like a superhero, but instead showed up with the gaping wounds that could not keep him in the grave, but instead showed the miraculousness of the resurrection. Hurting and suffering that was produced incredible hope for all time. Friends in Christ, we too are in the path of totality. Albeit a bit cloudy sometimes. Sometimes we have to watch for a while before we see the glimpses. But the full power of the reign of God is ours. Not to fix, but to give wholeness. Not to make things perfect, but to give meaning in everything that we go through in life. To provide inspiration, peace, joy, hope, resolve that really hits in this mortal life. In anything and everything that we can experience. So may we be made whole in the miracle of God's love. May we become witnesses, first for our own hearts, then to one another, and finally to the world.